Oh, for that introduction. Good morning, Truth Community. Great to be with you all this morning. I trust you are enjoying this beautiful summer weather and praising the Lord for His goodness. You know, as I was driving up, usually Dorothy sits beside me when I'm driving. She's the navigator, of course, but usually I'm off and my thoughts with sermons and that. And then I got a sudden jolt over a railroad track that I thought was going to push our suspension right up through the hood of the car. But I was just thinking through this morning on the goodness of God, how much we are blessed. And in our little prayer time this morning, I was reminded of that little chorus we used to sing, "We are so blessed by the gifts from your hand." Wow, we are so blessed indeed. It's a joy to be with you this morning, and it's great to be able to look into the Word of God together. Just before we do that, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Shall we do that? Our Father, we thank you, we praise you for your grace, your mercy toward us. We thank you, Father, that you love us, even though you know everything about us. You continue to shower your love upon us. You guide, you direct, you provide, you protect. Father, we thank you that even when difficulties come into our lives, things that we do not fully understand, we thank you that we can have that assurance that you are in control, that you're working all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to your purpose. So, Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst this morning. We pray just now as we look into your word, we recognize our weakness, our inabilities. Without you, we can do absolutely nothing. So, Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, the author of all truth, that you will guide us into all truth, that you will teach us all things, bring things to our remembrance that you have taught us, minister to our hearts this morning. But above all, may everything said and done bring glory and honor to your name, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joe's been mentioning it's been quite a while that we've been in Hebrews together, and we're continuing in that book. Now, you'll remember, if you've been with us or if you're familiar with the book of Hebrews, that the theme of the book is the supremacy of Christ, or the superiority of Christ. One of the key words in the book is better. And it's interesting that it appears 13 times throughout the 13 chapters. The writer draws a comparison of the prophets of old, of angels, of Moses, of Joshua, and then of Aaron and the high priesthood. Each time he says Jesus Christ is better, is better, is better. Last time we were together, we started, I was glad that Joe read the full of that chapter. It gives us a connection to what we've been dealing with over many months ago. But the last time we were together, we stated that We started a section in this book that deals with the comparison of the high priesthood of Christ with the high priesthood of Aaron. Or, as we mentioned in our study together, the priesthoods of the Old and New Testaments. This theme runs right to the end of chapter 10. Now, in that study last time, we mentioned a very interesting topic, that of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. We just mentioned the name because Lord willing, if and when we ever come to chapter 7 in our studies, we will deal in more detail with that topic. But the last verse in our last study, verse 10, mentions the fact that Jesus Christ was called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. In these closing verses of chapter 5, we come to what I believe is a parenthesis, which means an interval, an interlude, a pause, a bracketed statement, or maybe a by-the-way remark. This parenthesis, I believe, stretches from verse 11 of chapter 5 that we're beginning with this morning, right through to the end of chapter 6. Now, I would like you to see and understand something before we look into these closing verses of chapter 5. In verse 10, as I've already mentioned, Paul refers to the high priesthood of Christ as being after the order of Melchizedek. Then verse 11, of whom we have much to say. Here he's referring to Jesus Christ and his high priesthood fulfillment of the Melchizedek type. This, if you read on, is in reference to chapter 7, which begins, for this Melchizedek. And then the reader goes in to explain some more about Melchizedek. Now, before he gets into the detailed study of Melchizedek, the writer makes some comments and observations about his readers that will help us understand even more the reason for his writing this letter, and also, I trust, will be helpful to us in our Christian walk. There are three of these comments or observations that are seen in these closing verses of chapter 5, and I would like us to spend a little time in looking to those this morning. The first one is found in verse 11. And it's simply this. They were dull of hearing. Verse 11. Of whom we have much to say. That is in regards to Melchizedek. And hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. The writer is referring to spiritual truth and principles that he will direct us to later. But he says that these spiritual teachings are hard to explain, particularly to his readers, because of their dullness of hearing. In other words, he says it's extremely difficult to communicate spiritual principles because of their dullness of hearing. Now, there can be many different kinds of problems when it comes to communication. There can be a weakness in the teacher or an inability to express one's thoughts in a way that can be understood. There can also be a weakness in the receiver or the student, an inability to hear clearly what is being said. This, of course, can be due to a physical disability, deafness or hardness of hearing, or simply not paying attention to what is going on. You teachers know all about that. There can be so many different problems when it comes to communication or the lack of it. For instance, if I could draw a little personal illustration. I remember on one occasion that a dear lady in one of our churches went missing for a few weeks. I wondered why. And then I heard through the grapevine that there was something that had been said that seemingly had offended her, and she was considering going to another church. I was very concerned when I heard this. So I thought over all that had been said that particular Sunday. I remember having shared on that occasion a prayer request for our then next door neighbor who had just received news that he had a brain tumor. I asked our people to pray for his physical need. Also, I added that as far as we knew, he was not a Christian. And so I asked them to pray for his spiritual need as well as his physical. Now, I knew that this lady was related in some way to our neighbor, but I could not think of how she had been offended. So I went to the sound room in our church, and I found the recording of that particular Sunday, and I listened to it very carefully before I went to visit this lady. We had a wonderful visit. We prayed together and shared for some time. And then finally, she made mention of her plans to attend another church. When I asked for clarification on her reason for leaving, she said that she'd been offended by an announcement that I had made. She said, listen to this, she said that I had referred to the fact that this man, our next door neighbor, then next door neighbor, was not married to the woman he was living with. You can imagine how I felt and how I reacted. I assured her that I had the tape right there. I had listened to it over and over again, and that she was very welcome to listen to that tape. We talked some more, and finally she told me that she realized that it was nothing that I had said that offended her, but it was what she was thinking at that time. Wow. There can be many kinds of communication problems. That's why it is so important that we prepare our hearts and our minds when coming to the Word of God. We need to make sure that we're not coming with preconceived ideas or other things that would distract us from the truth of God's Word. However, what the writer of Hebrews was referring to here was a spiritual problem, not physical. Their dullness of hearing was caused by a lack of spiritual attention. Do you know that it's very possible for a Christian to have that problem? It is possible to hear the Word of God, even to understand what is being said, and yet pay absolutely no attention to it. Or in other words, keep on living our own way of life in spite of what God's Word is saying to us. Something else that is interesting about this dullness of hearing. In some translations, this verse reads that you have become dull of hearing. This is suggesting that they were not always so. Time was when these Hebrews had listened to the Word of God with eagerness and had made diligent application thereof. Just pause for a moment. It's very possible you're here this morning, and that's kind of ringing true. You can remember back to those days when, with excitement, you opened the Word of God, wanting to hear direct from Him. Those days are in the past. Dr. John Brown, the Scottish preacher and theologian, in his commentary on Hebrews, states this: when the gospel was first preached to them, that is the Hebrews, it aroused their attention, it exercised their thoughts, but now with many of them, it had become a common thing. They flattered themselves that they knew all about it. It had become to them like a sound to which the ear had been long accustomed. The person, he says, is not conscious of it, pays no attention to it. Interesting to note that the word that is translated dull here is the word nothros, which means slothful. It means sluggish. It means lazy. It is also interesting to note that the exact word, same word, is used in chapter 6 and verse 12, where it is rendered sluggish, or in the NIV, lazy. Chapter 6, verse 12, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word translated follower or imitator in this verse is the word mimetes, which means to follow or to imitate. They were dull of hearing. They became lazy in their hearing the Word of God. Secondly, verse 12 and 13. They were described as babies, as children. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid foods, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, these Hebrews were not alone in that condition. If you turn over or jot it down and look later, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first three verses go like this. Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, I want to just clarify something. The writers here, the writers of Corinthians and Hebrews, are not frowning upon the milk of the word. There's no need to be ashamed of a milk diet. In fact, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we read, as newborn babes desire the sincere or pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The writer was concerned about not a milk diet, but he was concerned about lack of spiritual development. Peter says, that you may grow thereby. By the way, it's interesting, while we're in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, and the very last verse, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. You see, Peter knew that if we desire the sincere or pure milk of the word, there will be growth. Just as in the physical, so too in the spiritual. The writer of Hebrews is saying that you have been at this for such a long time that you should be showing spiritual development, signs of growth. You ought to be able to teach. But instead, he says, you need to learn your ABCs all over again. That's what's meant by the first principles of the oracles of God. He says, you're babies. Now, there's nothing more beautiful than a newborn. They're so cute, they're so cuddly, aren't they? But when a 20, 30, 40, 50-year-old is still crying for their bottle or their need to have their diaper changed, my, that's a whole different story, isn't it? The believers in Corinth were described as babies. So too were these Hebrew believers. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So they were dull of hearing, and they were described as babies. Thirdly and lastly, verse 14, they were deficient in their knowledge of the word. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, something we need to notice here in these words, who are full of age. Joe read this morning, mature. I like that. You see, this does not refer to those who have reached the golden years as we refer to them. It's not referring to senior citizens as we would call them today. In fact, it's absolutely nothing to do with physical age or years. In this whole section, the writer is dealing with spiritual things. Here he's not even referring to our spiritual years or the number of years that we've been saved or member of the church. Here he's simply referring to spiritual maturity or spiritual development. And notice, please, the description that's given here of spiritual maturity. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The more I thought about that, I don't know about you, but many times we stand and shake our heads and wonder how so many of us Christians can get ourselves into the messes that we're in. Here we have a possible answer. The lack of exercising spiritual discernment. Oh, but you may ask, and where do we get this spiritual discernment? Answer, by the constant study and meditation upon the word of God, our spiritual food. You see, we cannot expect to grow if we do not eat. And we cannot expect to develop and strengthen if we do not exercise. I remember years ago, many years ago, we had a dear friend of ours taught up in New Brunswick Bible Institute, Bob Daly, and he used to come. We would have him come in to teach Bible conferences in the churches where we were ministering. And each time he would come, I was waiting for it. He would work me over. He would say, you know, what you need is exercise. He was a great jogger. He jogged every morning. Well, most mornings. And nothing would do, but he would get me out. And you know, I thought that he was thinking of my physical welfare when he was encouraging me out to exercise. Then I found out it wasn't really. You see, he used me as an illustration in his preaching because, you know, I hadn't been exercising regularly, and when I went out, I would end up with blisters and all kinds of knee splints and all kinds of pains and aches, and he would have a good laugh when he was up in the pulpit, and he would use me as an illustration. Interesting. We cannot expect to grow if we do not eat. And we cannot expect to develop and strengthen if we do not exercise. You ready for the question? Are you feeding your souls on the Word of God? Are you exercising your spiritual discernment? Are you growing in the Lord? Final question with this I close. What are you doing more this year for the Lord in your spiritual development that you weren't doing last year? Wow, quite a challenge, isn't it? The writer is encouraging spiritual maturity. He says we get this through feeding on the Word of God. When I was, during my seminary years, I got into the bookstores, and boy, I was buying up every book I could find and just devouring them. And a dear lady was one of our teachers, taught us teacher training, and she taught me so much. She would have us look through passages in the Scripture, and she would send us home to do a study on that and develop those verses. And of course, I had gotten so used with the pressure on time and everything in seminary that I was going to the books and I was reading through the books. Wow, this is great. And then I come to realize through my teacher training teacher that, you know, all these books and commentaries are wonderful. I'm not knocking them. Paul says, don't forget the books. Don't forget the books. And you know, they're great. But it's the Word of God. It's not what someone says about the Word of God. It's God's Word. Are you feeding your soul on the Word of God? Are you exercising your Christian life? Are you reading and feeding so that you can act out your Christian walk? You know, Christian, the word Christian is little Christ, little Christ. And that's what's expected of every one of us. We're to be little Christ. We're to be followers of Him. We're to reflect Him in all that we say, in all that we do, and all that we think. The only way we can do this is by constantly feeding on the Word and applying that Word as we live it out in our lives. So we see spiritual development. The Hebrews were dull of hearing. They were certainly at one time eager and excited, but they had become dull of hearing. They were described as babies and just feeding on the milk. Nothing wrong with the milk, but no growth, no development. They were deficient in their knowledge of the Word. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, spiritual development. That's what it's all about. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word to our hearts this morning. Forgive us, Father, when we fail so miserably, fall short of your glory. Oh, we can make time for all kinds of things, all kinds of activities. But Father, when it comes to the nourishment from your word, spending time feeding our souls on that word, meditating on that word, Father, we fall short. Forgive us. Cleanse, deliver us. Fill us afresh with your Spirit, and give us a renewed excitement to be studying, to be reading, to be feeding on your word. And we'll be careful to give you all praise. I ask this in Jesus' name.